voiceover against a sepia print of a Victorian street scene.
All that we know is all that you will now see. We know that the date is November 11th, 1896. We had locked onto Theophilus Tanner as an ideal specimen to try to lift under the aegis of Project Cerberus linked to Operation Kronos. The time at the moment of contact is precisely 10:14:08 in the morning.
The scene changed to a distant view of a sprawling town.
That's Omaha, Nebraska. Lincoln, my hometown, was only 100 miles from there. I saw that photo in our school library.
This is Omaha, Nebraska, about 4 years before our snatched moment of real-life video. Sadly, despite the most intensive research through local archive material and historical societies, we have not been able to accurately identify any other person or place on the film you are about to see.
A white-on-black countdown began from 10, running quickly through to 2, 1, and 0. Everyone was crowded around the viewing screen, utterly fascinated by the expectation of what they were about to see. A man, tallish with shoulder-length hair, walked down the street, swinging a stick in his right hand. He wore a long overcoat with small buttons, belted at the waist. A high collar and a cravat were held in place with what could have been a diamond pin. The film quality left a lot to be desired. It flickered and jumped, and it was in black and white. The background was fuzzy, but appeared to be a busy street. There were other people moving around, but the area of sharper focus was small. The man had his arm linked with a tall, slender woman. She had on high-button boots and a skirt that swept the sidewalk. A long coat came to her knees, fastened right up to the neck, which made it impossible to see what she had on underneath. She wore a wide-brimmed hat with a long cluster of feathers on its left side.
Oh, not bad, Doc. Not bad at all.
The man's other hand was firmly gripped by a child. It was a girl from the very long hair, but a scarf was wound around her face, concealing her features. The woman was pushing an elegant wickerwork pram with a high back to it. It wasn't possible to see the infant inside. A stout person came briefly into the shot and seemed to speak to one of the main players in the blurred drama. As they neared the camera, the man hesitated as though he'd spotted something out of the ordinary. The woman also stopped and tipped back her head so that the sunlight illuminated her face beneath the brim of the hat.
Ah! Emily! Oh, dear God, it's my wife!
It took all of them to restrain him.
Fucking brilliant, Brian.
Sorry, Mildred.
Just as Mildred had predicted, the piece of vid film had driven Doc completely into raving insanity. Seeing himself with his wife and children just before the 20th century scientists ruined his life forever had shaken loose his fragile hold on reality. He attempted to smash the vid viewer. Ryan grabbed him by the arm, but was shrugged off with frightened ease. In his rage, the old man seemed to have been given the violent strength of 10.
Leave me alone, you fucking son of a bitch!
Calm down, Doc.
But Doc wasn't to be calmed. JB dove in and managed to get hold of one of Doc's legs, while Christy dove onto his back, locking her strong arms around his neck. Ryan came again for another try, using all his power to knock the old man off balance. Once they finally had him down, it wasn't quite so hard. But it wasn't over until JB pulled out a length of whipcord from one of his capacious pockets and quickly tied Doc's hands behind him. They all got off him, while Mildred sat on the floor and tried to quiet him.
Doc, I understand how you must feel seeing that vid of you.
Oh, you understand, do you? You know what it's like to be torn from your wife and children? I believe that your own father was murdered, was he not? Yes, I thought so. Suppose you were to suddenly meet him after these long lost years. How do you think you would feel, you stupid trollop?
What, you? Oh. Well, I guess I feel a little like you do right now, Doc. Sick, bewildered, and crazy angry.
Oh, balderdash! Save your bedside manners for those who might need it!
But at least now he was calmer. Ryan rubbed at a sore place under the ribs where one of Doc's boots had caught him.
If we let you go, you promise not to break up the place?
An hour passed. Doc had been released and had joined the others in a makeshift meal. But he drifted away from them as they rested in the main room of the complex. Dean had followed and eventually reported back to the others.
He's just sitting watching that vid over and over again. Got it on slow-mo. Triple pick freeze.
Christy and Mildred both stood, but Ryan waved them back down.
You carry on with the delicious jerky and water. Don't want to spoil the meal. I'll go check him out.
Ryan walked quietly through, seeing Doc hunched over the viewing screen. Though his feet had made no sound, the old man must have sensed him, and spoke without looking around.
Jonathan Nolan.
What?
No, Ryan, my dear friend. I've not gone totally off my trolley, though I confess to being somewhat shocked at seeing my dear wife and children. A ghost in the mirror, a shadow upon the dream.
You said someone's name.
Oh, I did indeed. Look here. Jonathan Nolan, a scribbler in the popular prints. The man who comes up to me just here.
It was the stout person, wearing a stovepipe hat. Doc had the machine set on ultra-slow motion, and the movement was so frozen that it was difficult to make out any details. Doc was smiling gently.
I remember this moment. A moment trapped here like a fly in a piece of amber. Mr. Nolan had stopped to tell me that a book I had purchased had arrived in our local store. It was to be a gift for me for Yuletide from my dear wife. I never received that present, my friend. It is but a small tragedy among the other larger ones.
Ryan laid a hand on Doc's shoulder.
Yeah. Life's a bitch.
And then you die. I've heard that. The book was a first edition of Houseman's A Shropshire Lad. Wondrous verse. I have always loved those poems. They bring back with a painful clarity what I have lost.
We figured it'd be good to have a rest now. Then take us a good look at the Crontemp section. The one through the big window in the morning. Is that okay with you, Doc?
But Ryan had lost the other man's attention. Doc reached out to the control, easing the tape very slowly forward, just to the point where his wife lifted her face. The shaft of sunlight, 2 centuries ago, flared dazzlingly at them off the screen. Then the lens adapted to it, and they watched an amazingly clear freeze frame.
Oh, my sweetheart little girl. My dear Emily. My soft and comfy darling Emily. She was the most beautiful of angels, was she not, my dear and trusted companion?
She was very beautiful, Doc.
It was true. Emily Tanner had a serene, timeless beauty, a heart-shaped face with dark eyes, and amid the bunched auburn hair, tiny pearl earrings that caught the November sun. There was a gentle smile playing on her lips as she looked up, seeming to stare straight into the hidden camera that spied upon her from the far future.
I swear that I recall that moment, that day, that time. Only a week later, I was plucked away forever.
His face creased.
Forever?
It almost looks like she saw the camera there. Damned if I know what there might have been to see, Doc.
Nor I. But she said later that she thought she had glimpsed something. A sort of quivering of the air, she said. Like the heat haze across a summer meadow in a hot July.
Ryan was fascinated.
But she couldn't really describe what it was?
I fear not.
Guess at the time you thought nothing about it, did you?
No. Though oddly, my sweet little Rachel said that evening as she lay in her cot that it had frightened her.
What?
Something on the street. But the Moppet was only 3 years of age, Ryan.
How did she describe it?
Ryan had the uncomfortable feeling that he was peeling layers of bandages off a ghastly wound, and that the final unraveled strip of sear cloth would release a hideous turbulence of infected blood. Doc closed his eyes wearily, rubbing the back of his hand across them.
Oh, before God, I am exceeding weary.
A candle, Mr. Cawdor, to light me to bed. No, you asked me a question. What? Yes, I remember. What did Rachel say?
Right.